Radix Copycast. I'm Emily King, Radix's Research and Marketing Executive, and today I'm joined by Fiona Campbell-Howes, Radix's Managing Director and Lead Copywriter.
Hello.
In this episode, we'll be looking at writing tools and collaboration and whether a software platform exists that suits not just the needs of copywriters, but of stakeholders as well. So why are we talking about writing tools? Why is it so important for copywriters to think about this, Fiona?
Yeah, well, I know this is a topic that you came up with, and I think this is a really good time to be talking about writing tools. I have to admit, it wasn't something that I'd really thought about up to this point. But now when you come to think of it, as copywriters, especially in B2B, we're working on a whole lot more different content formats than we ever were. So whereas in the old days, we were probably just writing, you know, your white papers, your case studies, your traditional kind of content, which was designed for a printed page. And it was designed to be lots of paragraphs of text with not very much in the way of imagery. Something like Microsoft Word was really the ideal tool for that because, you know, it's set out in an A4 page. You write your paragraphs of text and then you send it off and you don't really think about it after that. But in, you know, the last couple of years, we've started writing for much more different types of content and much more visual types of content. And we've talked about it on previous podcasts that we've done. But, you know, on a given day, we could be writing anything from an infographic to a script for a Prezi to a video script to an ebook that needs to be laid out really nicely. And just started to find that Word itself is quite limited in its capabilities when you're trying to format text for these different formats and also communicate to designers what you imagine this text looking like on the page, you know, where the text elements need to be, where there needs to be quotes pulled out, where there needs to be visual elements, you know, where there needs to be diagrams and so on. So it's a really good topic to think about, you know, is there anything else out there that we could possibly be using other than Word? And we'll come on to talk about that in a minute, I think. But yeah, definitely the main thing is that we're working on all of these different formats. But there's also other issues that we come up against. And I think working with designers is one of them. I mean, as copywriters, we're not necessarily used to be working that closely with designers. And so being able to tell them on a kind of typed page what needs to go where is a bit of an issue when you don't really know how they work. And I think one of the problems that we come up against is that we are copywriters sitting in our office here in Cornwall. A lot of our clients are kind of dotted about all over the country. They have their design teams in their organisations. So we don't necessarily get to sit down with the designers and talk them through what we've written. So we have to communicate it on the document that we send them. So I've kind of resorted to coming up with my own kind of, it's like a sort of basic HTML style notation for telling them, you know, this needs to be a quote or this needs to be a pullout graphic or there needs to be a diagram here. But I don't necessarily know that they understand that's what I mean when I put that on the page. So, you know, I put in all these what I think are quite clear instructions, but you're never quite sure whether that's going to get across to them.
I think mentioning, obviously, that Word, we seem to have almost outgrown it now with the rise of digital and visual content and what it can actually provide. But it's kind of weird how writing within kind of like business needs, the tools available don't seem to have evolved that much since the 90s. Like I can look at Word today and then kind of remember back to IT classes, like when I was in secondary school and going, you know what, it's not changed that much. Admittedly, I think maybe the best thing that came along was being able to review and track things and been able to leave comments on it. That was perhaps one of the best things to happen to Word. Since then, there's not actually been anything that's been that useful. Meanwhile, though, like specific writing programs have come along a long way, like programs like Final Draft and Celltext, which is specifically really for writing for screen, and a couple of other formats that kind of take a script writing approach. They keep changing and evolving, but a regular word processor hasn't. And obviously you still kind of need something that's going to be quite general because people need to be able to access it easily on the stakeholder side.
Yes, I mean, I think there's quite a few things there, and you know, people like me who've been using Word for years just find it second nature. So I think it's quite nice in a way that it hasn't evolved that much because it's still that, you know, every iteration it goes through, it's still that very familiar environment and you know where you are straight away. But I do think that even as a really heavy user of Word, I think it's a bit like, you know, what they say about the human brain is you only ever use 10% of it at one time. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but I think with Word, most people only ever use about 10% of the functionality that's there. I think it does evolve, but we don't evolve with it. So it's only recently that I've discovered that when you open a new document in Word, It doesn't have to just be a blank page. They've got all different formats of things in there. It's like you can open a document for a blog post or for a brochure or for a newsletter. But having investigated those, I don't think they're necessarily that great for our needs. It does show that, you know, they are kind of thinking about, you know, people need to produce different types of things, but it is still very geared towards a printed page rather than digital or scripts.
It's not just that, but sort of like the kind of templates that are available in Word tend to be geared towards more people having to home publish or publish from a small office rather than actually having to take it to a designer. And then later, if it's something that is physical, onto a printer's, or if it's something that's going on a website, you know, any coders that might have to get involved, especially with something like a scrolling site.
Yeah. And what you say about, you know, the functionality for tracking changes has come on really well, and you could put comments in Word now and so on, which is another reason why I don't think we've moved away from it, is that when you're writing a document that needs to be reviewed by lots of different people. So, I mean, we're copywriters. We work with external freelancers sometimes. Our clients are quite often marketing agencies. Then they have their end clients. And all of these people need to be able to work on this document and record their changes and send them back. If there's no easy way of doing that, then the whole thing just becomes a complete nightmare. And I know that we've worked with freelancers who set up on their own and obviously want to keep their setting up costs down, and they've thought, great, oh, I can use Google Docs now because that's a free word processor, or I can use LibreOffice or OpenOffice or something like that, which has worked fine for them. But as soon as the document gets sent to somebody else and they have to review it and make changes and send it back, all those changes get lost, and so the process just breaks down. So even though there are some pretty good personal word processing free cloud-based software programs out there, as soon as you start sharing it with other people and other organizations, it all falls apart a bit.
It really does. I mean, I'm personal experience of running my own blog, and what I like having people send me stuff as a Google Doc, as soon as I try to copy and paste that into something like WordPress, it just all goes to pot. Yeah. Because all the formatting for some reason won't carry over like a Word doc or just regular word processors.
But I did think, because you talked about Final Draft there and you talked about Celtex and things like that, I thought that probably, you know, there were lots of marketing people out there who had discovered all of these fantastic new tools, and I suspected that there was something that everyone was using that just I hadn't caught up with yet. And I know I asked on Twitter quite a while ago, and you've asked on Twitter quite recently, you know, what tools are people using nowadays to produce copy for different styles of multimedia digital formats, and there just doesn't really seem to be anything that's taken the place of Word yet. I mean, there are these very specialist tools like you just mentioned, but I don't really see any of our clients using those. And if our clients aren't using them, then we can't use them.
It's put something in the case of something like Celtex or Final Draft, which are, as I've said, quite specifically about sort of screenwriting, but that you can write them for things that kind of format similarly to scripts. The problem is licensing. Because that's for a business issue, you're going to have to license for extra usage. Something like Celtex, it's a bit interesting how that one works because it's got its cloud aspects as well. But certainly with Final Draft, if everyone involved in making a decision process on something had to have Final Draft in order to be involved, that's incredibly expensive all of a sudden for just one program that potentially is the same cost as maybe certain small business editions of Microsoft Office overall.
Yeah. And then you think about, you know, how often do we produce video scripts? I mean, we do quite a lot of video scripts, but it's not something that we're working on every day. So investing in Final Draft for everybody and then hoping that our clients might invest in Final Draft as well, just so we can work on the occasional video script, isn't really going to work. It's not really economically viable. And so you just end up falling back on Word and trying to write your video scripts, or, you know, we do quite a lot of comic strips, so writing those in Word. Where I know, because I've used Celtex, that it's much quicker and it's much easier and it's got lots of functionality specifically for, you know, oh, this is a character talking, so we'll centre it, and this is a scene description, so we'll put it left justify. It does that automatically. In Word, you have to do that all manually and it takes forever, but it is the programme that everybody knows and everybody uses.
But at the same time, at least one other advantage that something like Final Draft has is that at least they've tried to ensure that there's a good tracking and changes kind of stuff in it. Because obviously if you've got people using that in Hollywood and the script's being revised round and round and round again, then obviously you want everyone to be able to see what changes have happened.
Yeah. But I think, I mean, Final Draft in particular is one of the more expensive programs out there.
Yeah, very much so.
So for all of these reasons, this is why we generally end up using Word. And I know I've tried to kind of manipulate Word to make it more geared to the kind of work that we're doing. So, for example, these days when I'm writing an ebook, and these tend to be sort of landscape format rather than portrait, and there's a lot of different elements on the page. So I've tried to use Word text boxes in the document to say, you know, that this bit of text goes here and this image will go here. But then I end up sort of typing into the text boxes what I need to go on that page. And then for some reason, I don't know why, I'm not very techie, that it's really, really slow. So you've got a text box in Word, you're trying to type something in or change some text that's in there. It's painfully slow. And so it just slows down the production of the whole document, even though I think the designers that I've worked with do quite appreciate kind of this sort of semi or wireframe, as you just said, visual representation of how the page might look in the final ebook.
I suppose, because I've tried to ask around about alternative tools to Word, and I did so recently on Twitter via the Radix account, and people were kind of like, oh, there's these various cloudy things that you can try, and obviously the free document creation programs, you know, like Google Docs and LibreOffice. But I think one of my main concerns, looking at the, I mean, they're not necessarily free. You know, there's some of them are, they're free up to an extent, or you subscribe to them. But obviously they're cloud based, so you've got stuff like PenFlip and Balsamic. And I mean, PenFlip's basically is like a collaboration tool. There's not much formatting involved. Mm-hmm. You can say maybe if something's a header or whatever.
Yeah.
But changes and comments have to be approved by like one person controlling the document. So you can't, and that's tied to one specific user account.
Mm.
So you've got to have that one person's got to always be there to kind of like review changes and then whether or not to sort of accept them into the main document. And you have to use a degree of coding in order to format the elements in the document. You have to use what's known as Markdown, which is a pain because that means you've got people having to, rather than press a button to make something bold, they need to know how to code a little bit of a thing in order to write something. And while that kind of totes itself to something, oh, you know, you'd be great for writing collaborative blog posts and things like that. And it's like, yeah, but if people got to learn a bit of code, it's not so helpful.
Yeah, no, and I think it just comes back to the fact that Word is the kind of lowest common denominator, and pretty much everybody has had exposure to Word at some point and knows how to use it. And without it, when you start using specialist tools, they might be great for you and your team of people that are in the office with you if you know how to use it. But as soon as you start to try to share it with other people outside of your organisation, it just doesn't work.
Annoyingly, something like, because I've tried out Scrivener in the past year or so, in fact, I took part in National Novel Writing Month last November, and so tried to cram 50,000 words worth of novel outside of working here. And I wrote it all in Scrivener, and it was pretty good, you know, and it did work and everything. And you could leave comments, and you could try and kind of like have one area which was dedicated to kind of more the research of what you've done and the kind of like the information that you were drawn upon to write everything. And I've tried it since for different formats. Like I've tried writing a comic script in it, and I've tried writing a film script, and I've tried just some general nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it all works really well, but it's like, yeah, and trying to convince businesses to invest like $40 a piece or something in a license for this, it's just not going to happen. But it does look like it's got a reasonable comments and tracking system.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not quite as in-depth as Word, but certainly better than what comes across in things like Google Drive.
Yeah. I hear lots of people saying really good things about Scrivener, and I really like that thing that you just said about how you can sort of collect your notes for it as well, because this is something that I really liked about Celtex when I used it. It's got this kind of, what they call, little cards. What do you call those little cards?
Prompter cards?
Just like little cards where you can like keep little notes about, you know, this is this character and this is all about them, or, you could just have all your notes on a particular topic on this card and then bring it into the document. So I really like that idea, and you know, move things around as well, so sort of move things around within the document, which you can't really do with Word either. So I think, yeah, people say good things about Scrivener, but whether it's ever going to take over from Word in the corporate enterprise, the kind of organisations we deal with, probably not just yet.
There was another issue going back to more of the cloud-related platforms, because Scrivener is a desktop only at the moment. Stuff like PenFlip and Balsamic, there's another critical issue. You need to be online.
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of writing gets done on trains.
Yes.
When there's lots of client meetings and similar things going on. And not to, no, there's basically, there's not much in the way of online coverage on a lot of the rail network.
No,
this country.
Not in this part of the world, no.
So having to rely on a cloud platform in order to write something could be a bit of an issue. I'm just saying, you might not actually get much done, you know, in between stations.
I did want to end the podcast with some recommendations for other tools that people could be using, and we've named quite a lot of them. But tragically, I think the only recommendation at the moment is to keep using Word, but to probably try to find ways to use it more creatively so that you can collaborate a little bit more closely with designers by showing how things are laid out on the page, rather than just by thinking of it as, here's an A4 page of text that I need to fill with words.
And another thing to consider, though, is that if you do decide to use a cloud-only platform, is to beware of perhaps potential lock-in due to whether or not you can easily export the formats involved. So, you know, if you do try something out like Balsamiq or PenFlip, do beware of leaving your content on there.
And I guess, you know, if you do find or you know of a really great word processing tool that could replace Word, then let us know.
Yes, please do. Well, that's all we've got time for this episode of the Radix Copycast. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly e-newsletter for the latest copywriting tips and insights.